Good day, everyone, and welcome to this IBM Palm conference call. A reminder that today's call is being recorded. Now, for opening remarks and introductions, I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Angus McIntyre. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, Jason. At Java 1 this year, IBM and Palm Solutions Group announced an ongoing partnership in terms of working together to create WebSphere microenvironment. We announced it to the press then. What we want to do today is announce it to the development community and show you essentially what you can get, where you can get it, and when you will be able to get it in terms of product, education, etc. The slides that I'll be going through are available either through the link that was sent out in the reminder for this conference from Fred Neuschwanter, or they're available off of the IBM website, www.ibm.com/embedded. You can pull the slides off of that. If you turn quickly to slide two, I'm going to essentially welcome and introduce everybody. And then I'll turn it over to Nathan Freitas of Palm Solutions Group. Nathan will take you through the deliverables, what's available, and the roadmap, when these things will become available. Then Bill Russell of IBM PVC Lab in Phoenix will be taking you one level deeper in terms of targeting embedded Java on the Palm Tungsten devices. Then we're going to turn it over to Rob Verna, and he'll take you through the IBM Partner World for Developers and Partner World development communities. And then we'll open up the phone lines for your questions and answers. If you go on to slide three, at the bottom, in June, just prior to Java 1, Palm Solutions Group had licensed IBM WebSphere microenvironment and announced that technology applications would soon be running directly on Palm Tungsten handheld. You know, this is an ongoing commitment that both Palm Solutions and IBM have to extending e-business applications out to mobile devices. Things such as database, such as DB2E, messaging via WebSphere MQ and MQE, collaborations through Notes clients and same-time clients, e-business infrastructure initially through our announcement on WebSphere EveryPlace Access, and then in June, as we mentioned, the J2ME programming model and partnering there around WebSphere microenvironment. In this section, we're going to allow you to interact with the development team. You know, Nathan Freitas of Palm will come forward and give you the roadmap of what will become available and when it will become available. And then Bill will take it a level deeper, as I mentioned before, in terms of how you can use the toolkits to build, test, and deploy applications to the Tungsten devices. And then we'll give you information on how to join IBM's developer community. And then finally, details where to get tools, runtime, help, and education if you need even more information on how to build, test, and deploy. So right now I'm going to turn it over to Nathan Freitas, who's the Senior Manager of Java Products at the Palm Solution Group. Nathan.
Thanks, Angus. Hello, everyone, and welcome. Thanks for joining us today, and we're very excited to give you this presentation on Palm Solution Group's Java strategy. This is something we've been working on for a while now, and we're finally able to provide you the first set of tooling and information on that tooling today. As Angus said, I am the Senior Manager of Java, which means that I lead the efforts, the actual day-to-day implementation efforts around bringing our Java strategy to fruition, and I work to inform our executives and business decision-makers around our Java's strategy. If you go to slide five, this is sort of our big overview slide around Java 2 Micro Edition on our Tungsten handheld. So Tungsten is our product line of devices, which I'll review later in this presentation. We've chosen this product line to essentially equip it with WebSphere microenvironment, which will support Java application. In this case, we're talking about mobile information device profile applications, or midlets, to run alongside native Palm applications. This means we can leverage the existing applications, the developer community, and the tooling that exists out there and allow you to leverage all of that and your investment in that, those tools, the language, that platform, into our devices. We understand it's difficult these days to support the myriad number of devices out on the market and handsets and variations. So our goal is to allow you to still support the great Palm hardware, the core Palm functions, But when it comes to custom applications, content, games, whatever your market is, you should be able to use the language that you've already made the investment in. So you can see on the right a few examples of some very basic type applications, from a chess game to a periodic table lookup application to a mortgage data lookup table that you can drag the columns of and synchronize through an embedded database that synchronizes over the air. And then a very simple sort of corporate launcher that emulates the look of the Palm OS launcher inside of Java. These are the kind of things we're sort of thinking about the range of types of applications that you might find in J2ME today and that we hope will be deployed on our devices. If you go to slide 6, there's a lot of justification and criteria we've used to choose Java as a platform which we want to support on our devices. Standards are very important to us. As Palm Solutions Group, what essentially the hardware side of Palm, we're not necessarily interested in creating new standards. We're focused on enabling standards on top of our hardware and to focus on promoting our devices and our technology. So we really want to support the standards out there, and Java is a great standard to support and all the substandards which make up Java through the Java community process as well. As a platform, end-to-end, from client through middleware to back-end, Java really provides a great platform, especially when you start looking at web services, which we're very excited about. I've already have some preliminary support for on our website and through Java as well. The leveraging of both the investment you've made, but also the community who's invested in all of these handsets and other Java-enabled products that are out there, we want to participate in that and share in that market, and also give some more variation to it. I'll talk later about how we compare against a standard mobile handset that supports J2ME and how we can be a much richer experience for users who are used to maybe smaller handsets. And as a connected-oriented technology, Java really satisfies the requirements of carriers and other sort of mobile operator and mobile operating environments where you need security, you need the ability to download software over the air and provision. And that creates a market for your applications to be sold and vended out to end users that is still really tricky in the world of Palm applications in some cases. So on slide 7, you can see that I've talked about the benefits to developers. I've talked about benefits to end users as far as new content being available, some of the secure sandbox execution that J2ME provides, and also to carriers. So we're really, different people are demanding us support Java in different ways. And I think with this first effort, we've satisfied some element of all of those three focuses. We definitely haven't satisfied all the requirements in all cases, but this is a first step on a path to a richer kind of vision and roadmap for Java support. So on slide 8, you get to see what we are releasing essentially today as part of this toolkit. The first phase is focused on enabling the base configuration and profiles. We want it to get up and running. MIDP 1.0 has been out for the Palm for some time, but we felt it had never been properly done with the proper integration and testing, and so we figured we would start there, enable the base JSRs, and then evolve from there. So this is available now and does support the Tungsten W, C, and T2 handhelds. We'll expand support for other Tungsten line devices as they're available, and this is runs both on Palm OS 4.1 and also 5.2 devices through the Palm application compatibility environment, which is essentially Palm APIs on top of an ARM processor. This means you can run the application the same whether you're on a Tungsten W or a C, for instance. Slide 9 lays out the second phase of our effort, which will be to take the core virtual machine, the J9 virtual machine, the WebSphere microenvironment, and optimize it for the ARM processor, basically moving the virtual machine down closer to the core of the ARM processor to really focus on performance optimizations. Right now what we have is a good start and allows us to run most applications on the market, but we realize that applications are getting more demanding, the amount of data processing is more demanding, and the multimedia requirements around MIPI 2.0 are more demanding. So by moving the processor to a native ARM environment, we'll really increase performance, and we're very excited about that. And also being able to support the latest CLDC and MIPI versions. This is also a great step on the road for us to larger configurations and profiles in the future, as you know, as we'll start really integrating the virtual machine deeper into the device. Slide 10 talks about though where we are today. We did choose MIPI as our core profile to make available at this time, but we feel that a lot of the assumptions about MIPI are based on the fact that MIPI is mostly available on handsets that have small screen and poor input. On a Palm device, you do have a rich screen. You have multimedia capabilities. You have a pen input. You have a keyboard input. You have a five-way navigation input. You have multiple wireless networks that are supported depending on the device you choose. And you also have a superior amount of memory and storage available, including expandability of to secure digital storage cards up to 1 gigabyte in size. So as you can see, you can do quite a bit with MIPI in this environment, from using embedded relational databases to full web services stacks to lots of graphics and XML data. So we're very, very excited about providing this a rich MIPI environment. The next slide, slide 11, shows you just some sample applications that we've put together or that we've gotten from third parties. And we're trying to focus on providing a rich user interface that so that you can move beyond the basic LCD UI functions. And we want to provide some of these in sample code in the near future. We also focused on the core forms and items in the forms and allowing you to navigate through those using the five-way nav and the keyboard, and also just focused on some basic applications like drawing. And this is really just a start to show the kind of things that this is capable of, and we look to have richer interfaces and hope partners will provide that in the future. Again, this is a step on the path towards reaching something like personal profile in the future, but the Palm OS has a bit of way to go on that, and we feel that this is a good intermediate step. So on slide 12, we move down the stack, all the way down to the Tungsten hardware. Tungsten devices are very exciting. They have great clear screens that are high resolution, really great looking text, and ability to render graphics. A high capacity battery that allows you to use that bright screen and use the integrated wireless radios for a complete day of work, in some cases more. But it really allows you to take integrated Wi-Fi and make it part of a solution and not just something neat to experiment with. The thumb keyboards are very useful and versatile as far as data entry. And the five-way nav allows a rich, comfortable experience for navigating a screen. Finally, as I said before, you can expand the memory of the device and also the capabilities of the device using the secure digital slot and secure digital I/O devices like digital cameras. The next slide expands on what I just said a little bit, but we have a rich device that has mechanisms for all sorts of means for getting data in and out. So you can synchronize data down. You can maybe update your midlet suite every time you synchronize with new data. You can also use many different input mechanisms and means for connecting to retrieve data. Slide 14 then kind of brings us back down to earth a bit. I laid out some of the vision and some of capabilities of our devices. Now, obviously, we want to start giving you the first set of tools that allow you to experience firsthand where we are and to start making decisions about that would allow you to target our devices and the WebSphere microenvironment runtime on our device. So available starting today at no charge through palm.com/java is the WebSphere microenvironment toolkit for Palm OS developers. This includes a developer license for the runtime and all the other required utilities for taking your midlet applications and running them on our device and testing them on devices and Palm emulators and simulators. it's a standalone environment that you can utilize in conjunction with any JHME compliant environment. In the very near future, we will then provide the end user downloads through the standard Palm end user support site that will allow Tungsten owners to download a licensed version of the runtime. This is where you would direct users to, if you have your application, you can direct them to go here to download the runtime. This is an intermediate step towards, you know, the future when devices will start coming with this bundled in, either in the CD or in the ROM of the device. And just based on the time it takes for us to build a device, we weren't able to jump into that right away. But that's the plan. And so this, it will become transparent whether in terms of Java support, it will just be there right alongside all the traditional Palm OS capabilities on the device and the C programming environment as well. All of, on the next slide, slide 15, I review our website. There's what we call our plugged-in site, which hosts the Java section, palm.com/java. This is where we provide Palm-specific content. We're not trying to recreate a Java developer community. In fact, we want to leverage DeveloperWorks. We want to leverage the number of the other existing Java communities out there. But we want to also provide content and information that are, you know, deltas beyond what's available elsewhere that are targeted at what we're providing. And so Plugged-In provides the downloads I spoke about today, some extra content, samples, what we call walkthroughs, which are step-by-step tutorials on enabling some of this technology, and also access to some of web services work we've been doing and the Palm-specific device emulators and simulators as well. Also, joining the Plugged-In program gives you access to special announcements, trainings, discounts, uses of logos, all sorts of great things, and it's a very quick sign-up. So, and this is where you'd go right now to download this software. As you can see on the screenshot, it does have the Palm One branding, and I will talk about that on the next slide. So if you go to slide 16, you know, what's happening from here for Palm Solutions Group? Well, we are pending shareholder approval, merging with Handspring and adopting a new name, which is Palm One. So that's us, if you've heard of Palm One, and hopefully when we switch that in the future, you won't be confused. And so palm1.com/java will be where you will go. And so that's exciting because Handspring's bringing in the smartphone division and a lot of their great technology there. Supporting the other big effort that will be happening over the next few months is supporting you, supporting application developers who've decided, yes, WebSphere microenvironment and MIDP and CLDC are right for me, and the Tungsten device is right for me. I'd like to really, you know, target this with my application. So we want to support you through developer events, through marketing where possible, and through you know, featuring your solutions to job developers and partners and customers. The next area we're focused on is really expanding our support for Java standards. We realize you can't just support the base configuration profile. And, you know, there's a lot of exciting JSRs out there around J2ME that provide needed functionality. So we're going to be working both internally and externally with partners to provide implementations of other JSRs as they become available. And we'll be working with other IDE vendors to integrate our toolkit and support for our toolkit into their development tools so that you can have a more integrated experience and we can be collaborating, coordinating with a variety of tool vendors in the market. And finally, we continue to plan our long-term Java roadmap. Not only do we have new devices coming out on a regular basis, we have new operating systems that, you know, provide the core kernel and operating system APIs, so Palm OS 6 is coming. The new hardware and new operating systems will enable us to look at providing support for other core configurations and profiles. And we're always questioning, is this the right thing? Do we take feedback and input from partners and customers and really looking to validate this plan. And this is a long-term investment. This is the first step, and we plan to continue to support all of the technology that's possible for us to support. And we look to for your input and feedback in this area as well. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to Bill Russell from IBM. He's the Embedded Java Solutions Team Lead. He's my counterpart, and we'll be going into a lot greater detail on some of the aspects that I touched on, and also provide you some insight into IBM's great development environment. Bill?
Thanks, Nathan. Hello, I am Bill Russell. I'm the Embedded Java Solutions Team Lead for IBM Pervasive Computing Division. Now that Nathan has given us the overview and the vision, I'd like us to roll up our sleeves a little bit and talk very specifically about what's available right now and how you get it and what you should do with it when you get it. A goal for my portion of the presentation is really to provide you with a set of steps, specific steps that you can follow after this presentation to get this technology and really start leveraging it. So a lot of the content in my portion of the slides is really kind of reference material that I hope you're able to refer to that, afterwards. On slide 18, what is available now? The core component of all this is WebSphere Microenvironment, which is a certified CLDC 1.0, MIDP 1.0 Java implementation on PalmOS 4.1 and PalmOS 5.2. And this is included in each of the following two packages. First, there's IBM's WebSphere Studio Device Developer, which is a professional-grade IDE, allows wizard-based middlet suite development, integrated POM application packaging, launching, debugging, etc. This is IBM's product that you get from IBM. And then the other packaging, the alternative, is WebSphere Microenvironment Toolkit for PalmOS developers. This is a set of utilities that lets you integrate WebSphere Microenvironment into other development environments. It lets you package applications for WebSphere Microenvironment on POM, and it allows you to debug with standard debuggers. This is something that is available from Palm's website. Get it from Palm. Moving on to slide 19, what you can do with it. Basically, what you can do now is you can develop, package, and test standard midlets and CLDC main applications. And the features you'll find in this current runtime are high-performance graphics. We've gone through the graphics from end to end in a concerted manner and highly optimized them. I think you'll be very pleased with the graphics performance you find in this drop. We've added an HTTPS connector so you can have secure communications from your midlets. We've added custom application icons so you can specify the icon you want to appear on the PalmOS launcher for your Java application. We've added a faster PNG decoding into the runtime on the fly, and we've retained our image pre-translation so that on your development workstation you can pre-translate all your images, PNGs, GIFs, JPEGs, etc., into a PalmOS bitmap type and have really fast loading of those images. And the other thing we've enabled is the five-way navigator on the Tungsten devices. So you'll be able to use that in your midlets. On slide 20, diving into WebSphere Microenvironment, wanted to make sure you're aware of the components therein. There are two production components. There's a J9 VM bundle PRC, which is the CLDC VM itself, and there's a MIDP21.PRC, which is the classified version for MIDP and CLDC. So these two components you always need on your POM handheld to run Java applications. There are additionally two debugging components, J9 VM debug bundle.PRC, which is the VM's debug module, and j9pref.prc, which is a preferences panel that lets you set up your application for debugging. So these two components you need to add if you're going to do debugging. So where to find these files in each distribution? In the toolkit, I've provided the directory specification here for where you find these files in the toolkit and where you find them in IBM's device developer. Now, device developer is IBM's IDE, and we recommend, and we'd love to have you use WebSphere Studio Device Developer. But if you currently have an IDE that you like, we are here to support you. And that's what the toolkit is for. Moving on to slide 21, we can address the WebSphere Microenvironment Toolkit for PalmOS developers. As I say, if you already have a J2ME IDE you like, you can use this toolkit to integrate development for Webster microenvironment into your environment, your development environment. So you'd be able to create your middleware suite as you usually do now, and then just add a step to integrate the utilities from the toolkit into your build process. Yeah. So it enables you to package applications for Palm OS, and it enables you to debug applications on Palm OS using a standard debugger that supports the Java Debug Wire protocol. On slide 22, it's kind of laid out how you get from your Java source code all the way to a Palm executable that runs on Webster microenvironment. So you start on the far left with your Java class source code, and you run that through a Java compiler, and you get midlet class bytecode. And then you combine that with the resources you need for your application, your images, et cetera, through a jar utility and create a jar file, green box. And then you write yourself a metadata file, a Java application descriptor, or JAD file that describes the specifics of how you want to deploy the application. And then you combine the jar file and the JAD file using the jar to PRC utility in the toolkit to create a POM executable, or PRC file, on the far right. On slide 23, we can look at the jar to PRC utility itself. There are two user interfaces for this. One's a graphical interface, the other one's a command line interface. This shows the graphical interface. You can run this thing, and you can quickly convert your jar-jad midlet applications into PRC applications for Palm. You run this tool, and you go through these fields. The first couple of fields are where you put your jar and JAD files. And you can either put a file from your local machine on there, or you can specify a URL, and we'll pull down the files as appropriate. The next field is the application name. You can specify an application name there, or you can just leave it blank, and we'll pull the application name out of the JAD file, the midlet name field. The next two files are where you can specify your custom application icon as PNG files. And again, if you leave those blank, then we'll fill in a standard WebSphere microenvironment icon for each of those. And the last field is the creator ID, where you should put your registered POM creator ID there for testing so you can get started. You can leave that blank again, and we'll fill in the creator ID that will let you test. So having filled in the fields that you're interested in here, you can then hit Generate PRC or hit Generate and Install PRC, and we'll go ahead and create the PRC file for you ready to sync on your POM. If you hit Generate and Install, then we'll go ahead and run the POM desktop install application so that all you have to do is hit the hot sync button on your device, on your handheld. On slide 24, this is the command line API to a command line interface to jar to PRC. I ran it here with the minus help command to show the usage text, and what it's really showing is it has the same options as the graphical interface, all the same options there. But this is the interface you'd use to integrate jar to PRC with your IDE or build script. On slide 25, these are the files that go into and out of jar to PRC. Your inputs to jar to PRC are your JAD file and your jar file, and optionally some PNG files to specify the custom application icons. The outputs are the POM application itself, the PRC file, represented here by sample.prc, and you have one or more .sim files. And the .sim files are the off-target symbol files for debugging. So what we've done is we've moved symbol file lookup off of the target, because historically a lot of these targets have had limited resources for doing things like that, although the new Tungsten devices are making that less necessary. If you move forward onto slide 26, I've shown a diagram of how debugging works using the toolkit. The gray box represents your IDE or your standalone JDWP compliant debugger. So you can use that to connect out to the emulator, and then the emulator can connect out to the standalone utility, the J9 debug server that comes in the toolkit, and it accesses those .sim files, the symbol files, and provides symbol lookup information to the runtime. On slide 27, I'd like to switch gears a little bit and talk about IBM's WebSphere Studio device developer. Device developer is part of the IBM WebSphere Studio family of tools, which is an open standards-based family based on Eclipse, powered by Eclipse technology. So if you go to eclipse.org on the web, you can learn more about Eclipse. And Eclipse provides productivity through integration. Basically, you can get a lot of tools, not just from IBM, but from other vendors as well, and integrate them all into a single environment. And from that single environment, you have a common, for example, you have common version control. Looking on the right side of slide 27 at the top, you have IBM's J2EE development offering, which is WebSphere Studio Application Developer. And then going down the website development environment is WebSphere Studio Site Developer. And at the bottom on the right is the J2ME offering that we're talking about today, WebSphere Studio Device Developer. And you can see the various things that plug into WebSphere Studio to create Device Developer arrayed around that Eclipse there. And the great thing about this is you have a common version control between all these products so that you can use the same version control repository and interface to store your server code and the same one for your HTML and the same one for your target device code, your embedded device code. On slide 28, talking more about WebSphere Studio Device Developer itself, it's a complete professional-grade IDE. You've got wizards to take you through creating projects, creating new classes and types. You can edit everything in there. You can optimize your applications. You can launch into emulators, such as the Tungsten W emulator shown here. You can debug and test everything. It's all integrated. It has the common version control interface referenced earlier. And another thing you have in WebSphere Studio Device Developer is a great tool plugin interface, so you can integrate third-party tools that may not have been developed with Eclipse in mind very easily as well. And the last point to make about that is that to upgrade your WebSphere Studio Device Developer is really very easy through an online software updates mechanism built right into the tool. The tool is pretty straightforward to use to get started with regular stuff, but I wanted to point out what you should expect to see when you get ready to actually run your application on Palm devices and emulators. So the next three slides actually show just some screenshots of how you get started doing that. There's a lot of flexibility in WSDD. We don't make any assumptions about what type of runtime you're going to be running, launching into, or debugging against. So you take a couple of steps to configure some things so that you have that flexibility. The first thing you do to start running on a Palm device or emulator or simulator is to configure a device on slide 29. And so this just shows you just go to Devices, Configure, and you get this dialog, and there's just a few entries to make to set up a new type of device in there. And then moving to slide 30, you can go back and configure a build. So I'm showing configuring a build of this solitaire sample for Palm 68K. I've packaged the application for Palm. And then going on to slide number 31, you can configure a launch. And here's where you can mix and match your builds that you've configured with your devices that you configured. So on slide 32, what should you do next? If you are a WebSphere Studio Device Developer user, or you'd like to be, then you can follow these steps right here. You can refer to these later. And go ahead. What you have to do is go to this URL that's listed under the first bullet and download Device Developer 5.5 if you don't already have it. And then go to the URL listed in the second bullet and download 5.6 Tech Preview. And that will get you the runtimes and the tooling that we're talking about today. So after that, you'll be able to go and load the solitaire example that's included in there. And then you'll be able to launch and run and debug that. You'll be able to create your own midlet through the wizards available in WebSphere Studio Device Developer and test those. And then after you've gotten familiar with that, we would really encourage you to participate in the developer community. And I provided the URLs here for the news group that supports WebSphere Studio Device Developer and also WebSphere Microenvironment and also the plugged-in program at Palm that Nathan previously mentioned. On slide 33, here are the steps. If you already have an IDE that you like and you want to stick with, then you can go get the toolkit from palm.com/java, and there's a user guide in there that you should read. And additionally, I'd like to point out that there are some great walkthroughs that Nathan and his team have put together that are on the palm.com/java site. If you click on the development details link from there, it'll take you to the walkthroughs and FAQs. So you can follow the steps there to package, repackage, and run and debug the sample. And then after you've done that and gotten familiarity with it and comfort with it, you can integrate the toolkit into your development environment, and then you can package, run, and debug your midlet. And then you can go and participate in the developer community. It's the same developer community, plugged-in program, and the news group. So these last two slides you can go back and refer to, hopefully, as a cookbook of exactly, you know, pick your slide, one or the other or both, and step through your next steps. At this time, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Rob Verna of IBM's Partner World for Developers. He's going to talk to you about the developer community programs that are available via IBM. Rob?
Thanks, Bill, and hello, everyone. My name is Rob Verna, and as Bill said, I'm a program manager with Partner World for Developers, which is IBM's business partner community for commercial hardware and software solution providers. Today I'll be providing you with a brief overview on IBM's resources for developers called DeveloperWorks and Partner World for Developers, in addition to what you can expect to see from the pervasive computing group in support of this initiative within Partner World. So let's get started now by turning to slide number 35. This first slide describes how IBM supports developers like yourselves. On the left-hand side is a segmented pyramid representing the audiences for our developer programs called DeveloperWorks and Partner World for Developers, which are called out on the right-hand side. At the base of the pyramid are individual developers whose requirements sort of center around accessing information and tools and for education, evals, or solution development activities. The DeveloperWorks technology portal was created by IBM to provide both technology information, for example, Java and Linux, in addition to providing information and resources for developing on IBM technologies like WebSphere and DB2. The next three tiers of the pyramid, labeled Member, Advanced, and Premier, correspond to solution developers who are enrolled in our business partner program called Partner World for Developers. These developers are engaged in the creation of commercial applications and solutions that integrate with or are based upon IBM technologies. Partner World for Developers is one of four Partner World communities designed by IBM to support the business, enablement, and go-to-market needs of our partners. And I'll go into greater detail on the resources available to business partners in a few minutes. So if we could turn to chart number 36. As I pointed out on the previous slide, DeveloperWorks was designed to provide independent developers with information and tools, resources, without the need for a formal business partner relationship with IBM, and that really is the critical part of this chart. The DeveloperWorks portal provides resources, as I said before, tutorials and development tips and white papers and forums, to assist you in creating applications. They also offer an electronic newsletter called the DeveloperWorks Journal that you can subscribe to, and if you are so inclined, submit articles about the technology that you're working on. If your article is chosen by the editors for publication, you'll be compensated by our team, and more information on this opportunity can be found by clicking the DeveloperWorks Journal link on the right-hand side of the frame, of the page. As you can see on the left-hand navigation panel of the screen capture here, there are two distinct paths that you can take when you're looking for information. First are the technology zones, which address established technologies like Java and XML and Linux. Each technology zone provides users with a wealth of articles and tools, code, tutorials, forums, etc., to help developers at any level, from novice to advanced, improve their skill set on that technology. The second group are product domains, which contain resources for developing specifically on IBM technologies. Each product domain provides how-to information, sample code, downloads, tools, and techniques within their product families there, and information about all the IBM hardware and software products, and most notably in this case, WebSphere, are available in these domain areas. And now I'd like to talk to you a little bit about Partner World for Developers and what content is being added to support embedded Java on Palm for development efforts here. So please turn to chart number 37. While providing tools and information to individuals through the DeveloperWorks portal is important, some developers need additional business enablement assistance to bring their commercial solutions to market, and that's where Partner World for Developers comes in. If you recall, Partner World for Developers is one of the four Partner World communities that IBM created to meet the needs of IBM business partners. We've built Partner World for Developers to provide these ISVs willing to commit to a mutually beneficial relationship with IBM with the tools and support and services and resources it takes to be successful. And that commitment is reflected in our mission statement, which is the faster time to market, a lower cost of doing business, and broader business opportunities to our partners. As you can imagine, managing 70,000 partner relationships worldwide is a very challenging task, and we accomplish it by using the web as our primary interface to our partners. And that way, we're open for business 24/7, 365 days a year, and also in across 7 different language translations of the website. Through the Partner World website, IBM business partners can access offerings that they need, organized across 6 categories, and this applies to all 4 Partner World communities. These are marketing and sales, education and training, tech support, relationship management, business incentives, and financing. So for a closer look at some of these benefits for developers, let's turn to chart number 38. Active members of Partner World for Developers are entitled to access a wealth of benefits and services at no charge when they join the program. We realize that there may be a need to get additional higher-value offerings, such as tech support via phone or email, and so that benefit is also available through what we call our value options. In looking at slide number 38, our resources are grouped again to the Partner World categories that I just talked about. This is just a short list of benefits here within Partner World for Developers that are available to our members, and you can learn more by visiting the site at the URL we list at the end of the presentation. I'd like to take a few minutes and tell you about some of these offerings that I think are really important and you would be very interested in. Under Marketing and Sales, you'll see a listing for the Global Solutions Directory, which is our online catalog of Partner World for Developers member solutions. So when a member has launched their product into the market, they can create an online profile for it and add it to our database. Customers then can access the Global Solutions Directory online and search for partners based on a number of different criteria, which include hardware and software platforms, operating systems, industries, and languages. When a customer then finds what they're looking for, they can then contact a business partner directly. So IBM steps back, and it's a one-to-one relationship with the customer for our partners. Additionally, Global Solutions Directory is translated into 9 different languages worldwide to truly give our partners a global reach. Under tech support, there's a listing for the IBM Developer Resources. This is a collection of online sites and links that can be accessed at no charge by members of Partner World for Developers, and it contains things like frequently asked questions, information roadmaps, and web-based forums. Without going into a lot more detail, I encourage you to visit the Partner World website and Partner World for Developers in particular to learn more about things like education offerings, including classes and seminars and webcasts and workshops. Subscribe to our online newsletter, which you can then tailor to your areas of interest, for instance, Java, and also find a list of business discounts and offerings that we provide to our partners at no charge. So, for instance, things like discounts on Hertz rental cars and cell phones, etc. So now that we've talked about the high-level benefits of Partner World and Partner World for Developers, let's talk a little bit about what we're adding to our website in support of this new initiative for POM. So please turn to slide number 39. As part of the initiative between IBM and POM, we're in the process of adding these offerings to the Partner World for Developers website in the next couple of days, or weeks, I should say. The WebSphere Studio Device Developer Workshops for you to learn about Eclipse-based tools, the WebSphere microenvironment, and Java Midlets. I'd actually like to let everybody know that there are 3 WebSphere Device Developer Workshops scheduled for the remainder of this year. The first one will be October 28th through the 30th in Toronto. The next one will be November 11th through 13th in Dallas, Texas, and the third will be November 18th through the 20th in Hursley in the UK. You'll be able to find more information and schedule your participation if you're interested on the Pervasive Computing site, which is listed at the end of the presentation. Another benefit that you'll be able to access is opportunity to gain visibility on the global IBM Pervasive Computing website, so all your solutions would be shown on this page as part of the partner program. You'll have exposure to IBM sales reps through lunch and learn sessions and get to know you events in your area, and also an opportunity to attend by an invitation-only event, which is called the IBM Pervasive Computing Embedded Summit for Business Partners. So more information, like I said, will be on the web. Again, all these links will be in our page that we're building and will be available in the next coming days and weeks. So for a wrap-up, please turn to slide number 40. If you do have any questions about what we talked about today, in particular the partner programs, you can send a message to the Pervasive Computing team at the URL listed there, or feel free to shoot me an email, and I'd be happy to walk you through any questions or any steps. So with that, I'd like to turn it back to Angus.
Thank you, Rob. Once again, a reminder that this conference will be taped, and the taped recording of it will be available roughly in about 2 days' time. So if you go out into the, you dial the number that the that was in the notification letter, you will be able to replay the conference. Now I'd like to turn it back over to Jason, who will start to accept your questions from the audience. Jason.
Thank you, sir. The question and answer session will be conducted electronically. If anyone does have a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your touchtone telephone. Again, that's star 1 to ask a question. If you are using the mute function, please make sure your mute function is depressed to make sure your signal reaches our equipment. Again, that's star 1 to ask a question. And we'll take the first question from Jerome Liss in Philadelphia.
Yes, I had a couple of questions. You're running the MIDIP 1. Does that supply Palm resources such as the communication serial port on the Palm? Is that available?
This is Bill Russell. Yeah, there are communications mechanisms available. We have support for HTTP, HTTPS. You're looking for the serial port in particular?
Yes.
Actually, there is support for the COM connector in there. And for documentation of that support, I'd refer you to the news group, actually, where there's some news group messages that if you look back through the archives, it'll support that.
The other question, I've been doing a lot of phone development for the last 2 years, and MIDIP 1 also does not have floating point calculations. Do you have any provisions for IEEE floating point in this, either through APIs or some add-ons?
As Nathan mentioned, our future roadmap includes moving to CLDC 1.1 for new devices coming out. So that will provide floating point support.
But what's out there right now still does not. So.
No, yeah, that conforms with the CLDC 1.0 right. Specifications. So there's no floating point in that.
Okay.
I would just also, in the short term, there's a third-party library called MathFP, which runs on CLDC 1.0 and allows some support for doing.
I'm very familiar with it. That's
okay.
Not true. 13.
It's not.
We had to write our own. That's why I'm
yeah.
trying to get away.
So we hope. Yeah, we do hope to move to that as soon as possible.
Okay. And just one last question was about. Again, we're involved a lot in phone development, and we're just wondering what the direction and the timeline is for tungsten phone-type products that would be in national service providers like the Sprints and Verizons.
I can't speak too much to that as it involves the pending merger with Handspring, but
sure.
I think it's you can look out on the web and see some exciting developments there.
But
and
we 6 months, 3 months, a year.
It's short to medium term kind of time frames. In the near term, we do have the Tungsten W, which is a GPRS device, GSM GPRS device, which is supported with this build to get you started.
Yes. Well, thank you.
Thanks.
Moving on, we'll take the next question from Jim McCratz in Palo Alto, California.
Thank you very much. I guess all I need to know today is if there is some standalone emulator solution. That is to say, if we don't use WebSphere Studio, can we put together an emulator that well approximates or closely approximates the platform solution?
Yes, definitely. You can from our plugged-in site. You can download a Tungsten W simulator, which is a full emulated environment for that device. There's also simulators for the Tungsten C, but I would start with the W right now, and then the toolkit download is free there, and that has the runtime, it has the JAR to PRC converter, which you could use to automatically convert the PRC,
right.
the JAD, and then launch the emulator with your app.
Right, so I would effectively install the Java Runtime PRC onto that simulator as if it were my real device, and
then it'd
be as if I was working with a Palm application.
Oh, yeah, it looks exactly like the real device.
Does that have a debugging conduit as well?
Yeah, we have, there's a debugger that is part of the toolkit that does it over IP through a socket, JPDA kind of socket connection. So that's in there. We're putting up some more information on how to utilize it in different environments. But you
the simulator would do it the same way, except the socket wouldn't actually be going over a wire and so forth.
Yeah, it's all the debugging is done via IP, whether it's localhost or to actual device.
Okay, that's a good answer. Sounds good to me. Thanks a lot.
Okay.
And once again, everyone, that is star one if you do have a question. And we'll now move to Steve Mann in San Luis Obispo, California.
Yeah, hi. Out on the Palm website, there's a mention of the JSR 75 extensions. I'm wondering if you could comment on the status and availability of those.
JSR 75 isn't final yet, so we can't really know when it will be available, but IBM is preparing the reference implementation for JSR 75.
Okay.
But we expect to have the technology available as soon as the specification is finalized.
Okay. Going back to an earlier question related to sort of future product plans, I know you really can't say that much about them, but can you give us any hints as to whether the former Trio 600 might actually end up being rebranded as a Tungsten device, i.e. will it have Java support?
Yeah, I can't say.
Okay.
What I can say is that the carrier market and the carrier requirements were a big driver in us providing Java support. So, we've been focused on this for a while now. So, we're very hopeful.
Okay.
And I would say that our WebStream microenvironment solution is targeted as a general Palm OS solution while having some enhancements, particularly for Tungsten.
Mm-hmm.
One can expect it to run in the future on most Palm OS devices.
Most sort of generic Palm OS type devices.
Right.
Okay, good. That's encouraging. Thank you.
And John Van Exen in Chicago has the next question.
Yeah, it's actually a sort of a quick question, I think. I've heard a lot of talk about a performance release upcoming, and I also heard a lot of talk about steering away from the Tungsten W towards the C and the ARM processors. Am I to assume that the performance enhancements that you're working on are not going to be available on the W, or that they will be, and the device just isn't going to get sold that much, or where's that going?
Yeah. Hi, John. How are you? The W, I mean, inherently because of the processor of the W, it is a 33 megahertz Dragon Ball. There's, you hit a limit on what's possible on that device. We are focused on a few more areas we're tuning right now. There'll be an update at the end of early October, just some tweaks and stuff. But beyond that, the focus is towards the future and towards ARM processors because of the capabilities and the synergy that exists between ARM and Java and with a lot of with IBM and Intel and folks like that and TI. So that's really our focus, and that's where our product line is moving. The Tungsten W is still, we do want to support it. It was included in this release for a reason, there's such a difference in speeds in terms of interpretive kind of processes like what you need for Java that we're going to take it to a TCK MIPI 1.0 up to the point where essentially it is in today, and then from here focus on ARM.
Thank you.
And the next question comes from David Boynton in Santa Barbara, California.
Yeah, Nathan, we've exchanged emails a couple
sure.
of times,
sure.
and I'm trying to understand the issue with native development, also a comment related to the carriers, and I've heard this comment various places that I've been controlling what goes onto the device. What is there foreseen, or is there anything foreseen with relation to opening up, as you mentioned during the presentation, or I'm not sure if it was you exactly, but towards the personal Java environment?
Right.
as opposed to where the carriers want to prevent personal job environment. As you know, we've got several thousand developers using our serial port product that will port to this device. So I'm just kind of looking for some feedback on those disparities.
Right. Okay. So first, native development and essentially a expanding the capabilities of the VM through native development is a capability that has existed in WebSphere microenvironment or in J9. Sorry, traditionally, we are working, as you know, with limited partners who can provide extensions of JSRs and other APIs and extending the capabilities of the VM. So it's not JNI, and we're not making it sort of generally available, but those who are interested can contact us, and we can, like as I've been working with you, and we're working to put together that information for you. The second question around carriers, I think, the POM on phone handsets, they are very controlled and very locked down on traditional handsets. You're seeing, though, on our device and other devices that are more powerful, kind of two sides. The carriers definitely want a secure, digital rights managed, target repository for which they can provision their content and sell content and then able to, support developers who are developing that content, those applications. That's something that we will support on devices that are resold by carriers. But at the same time, the POM still provides an open environment where you can hot sync an application on. And as long as we provide both of those sides, we're sort of free to ensure that, we maintain what the carrier requires. We could provide other versions of Java and other means that aren't locked down by a carrier. As far as personal Java, in terms of where we're launching our Java strategy, it doesn't make sense for us to do a personal Java implementation since that's not part of the official J2ME standard. So we are focused on providing a connected device configuration, CDC, and personal profile in the future. And the vision is that those could exist side by side with a CLDC-based solution, though we may distribute it in a different way. So I think... And finally, on the devices that aren't carrier-oriented, say like a Tungsten C, which is Wi-Fi, you'll have a lot of freedom and openness to do what you would want there. So that's where we stand today, and I definitely understand, again, the need for other profiles and configurations, and as we feel our operating system and device can support them, we will.
And one final reminder, that is star one if you do have a question. We do have a follow-up question from Jim McGrath in Palo Alto.
Thanks. Website says that the MIPI 2.0 can be expected in the fall of 2003, and it's very fall-like now. I wondered if you're in position to refine the schedule, and I do appreciate that the sort of GPRS story, that can't be told today, but in terms of the Tungsten C and so forth, is there a refined date on 2.0? Because a nice 2.0 platform would be very welcome.
Yeah, it's not fine yet, and that's, we're probably should update that. We're working as soon as we can. I mean, it's months, not years. if you get in touch with me, also I'm looking always for applications to get access into earlier beta programs and things like that. Please get in touch with me directly on that.
All right, thank you.
Gentlemen, it appears there are no further questions.
Okay, then, we want to once again thank you very much for coming to the webcast today. And also, we really rely you on asking your questions by the news group as well as contributing to the news group. As Rob reminded you in terms of articles, in terms of how-to articles are accepted for compensation on the developer work site as well. So we'd really appreciate if you would contribute to the community. So thank you very much for listening to us today. Bye.
This does conclude this IBM Corporation Palm Conference Call. Thank you, everyone, for joining us.